What's up, Grizz Nation? Welcome to the show. It's David and Isaac. This is the Sports Ethos Grizzlies podcast. We are here for a post game. The Memphis Grizzlies take care of business against a shorthanded Sacramento Kings squad. Final score 124-105. The Grizzlies improved to 19-11 on the season. They are now closer to the third place Jazz than they are to the fifth place Clippers. It's looking nice, man. What do you think?
Yeah, man, it's just amazing what's happening right now, man. You lose Ja, and now you're 10-1 in 11 games without him. It didn't start off great last night. For a quarter and a half, man, things were a little dicey there. But I think kind of what we saw was, I think just like us, they were probably reading social media and thinking, I mean, seeing everything that's going on in Sacramento. They shut their facility down. They couldn't even do a shoot-around yesterday morning. You had, I think, like six guys that have tested positive or either in protocols along with their head coach. And you're probably thinking, man, we're not going to play this game. Then you get to the arena and you look over there and there's only eight guys on the team. They're missing their head coach. You're thinking, man, we can just show up and beat these guys. And nah, man, early on, Sacramento wasn't having any of that. They're fired up because of this situation. And they came out playing well. I mean, you had guys, Halliburton playing, shooting the basketball well, Harrison Barnes playing well. I mean, knocking down threes, Metu early in the game was playing really well. But I think eventually, right midway through that second quarter, the Grizzlies started to take this one seriously. And you figure with eight guys, eventually they're going to get some tired legs. And Grizzlies picked up on the defensive ends, kind of spearheaded by De'Anthony Melton there in the second quarter, turning some defense and offense, man, getting some steals, deflections, getting up and down the court. And once that happened, the Grizzlies kind of boat raced them from there. I think you kind of look at this game, and I think Sacramento's Doug Christie, I don't think they played this game well. I think Metu, especially there in the second half, man, kind of a ball hog when you got guys and you're in a situation, you got your veteran guys like Harrison Barnes and Halliburton's not a veteran, but he's one of their better players as well as Buddy Hill, and they're not getting the ball. Metu seemed to be taking all the shots. I think that was a bad strategy for him. But again, man, Grizzlies get the win, man, 124-105, and they continue this and got a game tomorrow night against the Blazers, chance to beat them for the second time in a week. So it's coming up roses in Grizzlies land right now, man. We're all happy and excited about this. And like you said, now only two games behind Utah, who took a loss to the San Antonio Spurs last night.
Yeah, it's crazy how well they've been playing. I went through and dug up some of the numbers just because – obviously I've been watching the game, so I've been seeing how well they're playing, but sometimes it just doesn't register as to how well they are actually playing. Right now, like during this 11-game stretch, they're averaging 114.5 points per game. That's third in the league. They are second in the league in offensive rebounds at 12.8. They're the best rebounding team in the league. Top 10 in assists, first in steals per game, third in blocks. Their plus minus is 18.6 over this 11-game stretch. That's good for first in the league. Defensive rating, 96.9, 4 points better than the second-place team. And their top 10 in pace, just insane. They're doing a lot of things right. And you have to give the guys credit, but, man, this coaching staff, I know that, we talk about it, but the swing – from 3 weeks, 4 weeks ago, we're talking there's people, I'm seeing plenty of people, Jenkins needs to be fired, he's a terrible coach, he doesn't know what he's doing, to now they're 10-1 in their last 11, and those type of critics have been silenced.
And to go back to those numbers that you just ran through, the one, they're all super impressive, especially from where they were early in the season. If you had looked at those numbers, and I hate to say this because I'm not saying they're a better team because Ja is out, but pre-Ja, when they were losing those games, those numbers would have looked a lot different. But the one that really stands out to me is the rebounding, because, I mean, you have Steven Adams, and he's really picked it up on the rebounding side. I mean, he was pretty good rebounding already, but lately he's been double digits almost every game. But you have a guy next to him, and Jaren Jackson Jr., who's one of his biggest criticisms has been he doesn't rebound the basketball. So to see this team number one in rebounding just lets you know what Steven Adams is doing, how Jared has improved, and what the other guys are doing, what the guards are doing, what Kyle Anderson, these guys are cleaning the boards as well. So, I mean, I think that's a fantastic number for this team to be number one in the league, especially when your power forward is known as a guy that's not a particularly good rebounder.
Yeah, they had six guys last night with six or more rebounds.
I mean, Ty Jones even had six. I mean, yeah. I mean, your point guard getting six. So
it's a team rebounding effort, and that's it's encouraging to see because of rebounding, you know, quote unquote, being a weakness for Jaren. Seeing these other guys step up and help, you know, when Jaren is playing the five, they know they have to team rebound. Jaren knows when he's at the five, he has to be more aggressive on the boards. And it's translated like these guys are, they're in on it. They know what they need to do and they're doing their job. And it's just, it's impressive as hell, man.
Yeah, man. When you look out his box score, Tyus Jones, six, Bane only two, but Brooks with six, Jaren with six, Steven Adams with 12, Kyle off the bench with six. You had X coming off the bench with seven. I mean, Melton with three. I mean, this, it is a team effort, on the boards, man. And I think that's a big reason why this team has been so good offensively. I mean, cause they're getting offensive rebounds and they're getting second chance points. They're really, really been cashing in on those, as of late. And again, man, it's good to see. And it goes to the team mentality. And a lot of people talk about when you see a lot of guys, when teams best players go down, they struggle. But I think what they've created here at Memphis is a culture. I think there really is a Grizzlies culture, and it does. It's a testament to this coaching staff and what they created. Because I mean, you're not going to see this when you miss a guy like Ja. Teams aren't going to go 10-1 when they lose a guy like that. I mean, and he's playing deep bench guys that won't even get minutes now, and all these guys are coming in and being productive. I mean, that's just not something. I don't think a lot of people fully realize what's happening here. And how special this is, what's going on. I mean, you have these guys that coming in that won't even get minutes early in the season. I mean, being big-time contributors in big moments, it's not like they're coming in garbage time. These guys are playing rotation minutes right now and being productive. Guys like Tilly is just coming in playing really well. Contral, who's even playing more now. X is coming in getting minutes and playing well. I mean, it's just fantastic to see. I mean, you just hope that when Ja comes back, they find a way to make all this work, because if they can do that, man, this team is dangerous. I mean, you talk about people say, oh, well, I think the fourth seed is a ceiling. I'm not thinking like that. I mean, this team has a win over Utah in Utah. I know Utah is a fantastic team, but I mean, you see what the Grizzlies are doing right now. I mean, Utah has won 10 of their last 11. I mean, they've won, I think they lost last night, so they'll be 8-10. But they have their full roster. You see what the Grizzlies are doing without a guy that's averaging 25 points a game. You add him back in and you make this work, man. Why can't they be the 3 seed? I mean, I know that sounds crazy, and I know nobody thought that coming into the season, but I mean, we are where we are, and we've seen some special things from this team, and I'm not putting a ceiling on.
So do you think not putting the ceiling on them, are you thinking that maybe there's been enough growth that they're going to get into the playoffs and be competitive there? You think we could see them make a run in the playoffs?
So, especially if they get home court advantage, if they end up 3-3, 3-4 spot, I think they definitely have a chance to win a series. And I don't know. I think, and I'm one of the I'm glass half full guy. I'm optimistic, and I felt like I said 45 wins when the season started, but I didn't think they would be in position to win a playoff series. But the internal growth that we talked about, what you've seen from Bane and the strides that Brooks has made, and the depth these guys right now are getting playing time, which is going to make them better, because when Ja comes back, if their number has to be called, they're ready to go. I think that really helps your bench, because these guys are getting to play. I mean, I really do. If they get home court advantage, man, I feel like they have an opportunity to win the series. And I'm not sure anybody, even the most optimistic person covering the team or fan, felt like that coming into the season. And I think they really do have a shot at that. I mean, you look at the teams that are below them, none of those teams really scare me. I mean, the Clippers, unless they get Kawhi back, we don't know what's going to happen with that. But the Nuggets are now without Michael Porter Jr., without Jamal Murray. I mean, none of these teams really scare me, especially with the Grizz possibly having home court advantage. The Lakers don't even scare me. I know you kind of look out there and see the names on that team. But, I mean, I kind of talked to you about that last night. I mean, I don't think that team – I just think – and then we're not going to turn this into a Lakers podcast, but I just don't think that team's it, man. I just think it's a bad fit. They're old. They don't have a bench. I mean, they have a lot of issues on that team. And I think that team's going to have a first-round exit. I think they'll get in. I think they'll be in the play-in. They'll possibly get into the playoffs. But I think it's going to be a kind of a quick exit. And I know that's crazy looking at that team with that Hall of Fame possible players in the future on it. But it's just not looking good, man. I think they'll get it together somewhat. But I think they have some flaws that just can't be fixed, and they don't have any flexibility. So when I look down under the Grizz and look at some of these teams, man, none of these teams really scare me. So if the Grizzlies could finish in third and fourth and get home court advantage, I like their chances to be in the second round. Now, anything beyond that, you really getting crazy. But who knows, man? You get there and you'll see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, it's I'm on the same page as you. As you know, I'm not scared of any of the teams below them. You know, I think the Lakers have got a lot of stuff to work out. That's essentially a new roster. You carry it over, what, LeBron, AD, and, man, I don't even know. I don't follow that team close enough. I know that they had a ton of new guys coming in. You know, obviously Dwight Howard was there when they won the title, and he left and came back. And, you know, just a lot of moving parts in that roster. So I think that they've got a lot to work out there, but no, I'm not afraid of them, and I don't think that this team is scared of anybody. They go out there night in, night out. They're competing. They're fighting. They got each other's backs.
They put the belt to the metal. They don't hold back. And I think that's something that you don't. We've seen this team for years be a team that kind of takes their foot out of the gas. Not this year. That's not what they've been doing. When they get an opportunity to run off, man, they run off. They'll put 140 on your head, man. They're not pulling back, man. It's belt to the metal once they get going.
Yeah, and they're not struggling on the road. They started off kind of rough on the road, but, you know, they're three games above 500 in a row. They're 8-5 on the road right now. So, you know, they can definitely go in. Like you said, they got that win at Utah, and that's tough to do. So, you know, you never know. I guess I wouldn't have thought heading into the season with the moves that got made that we would be seeing this team where they're at right now. And it's not that I thought that they would be way down buried or anything. I thought that we would see some growth from guys, but I never would have guessed that they would have been sitting in the four seed with a chance to, you know, actually be fighting to get in the top three of the Western Conference. They would be sitting in second place.
Second place, yeah. They have a better record than the Milwaukee Bucks right now. Yeah.
So, you know, there's probably not anybody – prior to the season, maybe out, you know, maybe inside the locker room there was, but, you know, outside of that locker room, there was probably not anybody that thought they'd be where they are right now.
I was thinking in the postgame press conference, I think it was Melton last night that was talking about Desmond Bane and talking about the ebbs and flows. And like he's preached that to the team, and they really embraced the idea that never get too high on the high, never too low on the lows. And that's why they've been able to kind of weather storms. When they get down double digits, they kind of fall back on that concept, like, man, we're fine, man. We can get back into this game. We believe in our talent, and we believe in the guys that are on the floor, and that we can do this. And he said they've really embraced that. And you've seen that on the floor. Like, they don't panic when they get down. I know fans kind of tend to get panicked. Oh, we're down by double digits. We're shorthanded. Like, it was a little ominous early in that game last night. But next thing you know, it's kind of the same thing in the Portland game. Portland came out and kind of threw a punch early. Grizzlies were down double digits. Next thing you know, Grizzlies up double digits. I mean, and that's just kind of what we've seen when they get down. Now, a lot of games, they don't even get down. But when they do get down, they've shown the sense of not panicking. And they've been able to get back in the game pretty easily. Next thing you know, they're running off on teams. And Melton said that comes a lot from Desmond Bane preaching to them, kind of the ebbs and flow thing.
Yeah, you know, and that's a huge maturation process, just even from the beginning of this season to where they're at now. Because early in the season – when they would get completely down, different. Man,
yeah,
you know, it's like they would get defeated out there, and now they hit that stride where they can take that punch and just kind of roll with it. You know, you're talking about Bane. I was looking up the numbers over this the last 10 games from Jaren, Bane, and Brooks, because we talked about that when Ja went down and what they needed these guys to do. Jaren over the last 10, he's just under 20 points a game, 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 2 blocks. And his net rating is plus 11.6. Desmond Bane, 18.3 points per game, 5.3 rebounds, 2.8 assists. He's just over a steal a game. He's shooting 47% from three, and he's plus 5.8. And Dylan Brooks, 18.9, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 1.5 steals, and he's plus 10.1. So the three guys that you needed to step up when your leader goes down have all done that. And, you know, you may even say more so than what you expected.
Yeah. I mean, and you look at these numbers in the second, I mean, and you look at this pretty much every game. It was kind of similar in the Portland game. I can't remember exactly what the numbers were, but you look at the DB brothers and their combined stats. I mean, 47 points, 8 rebounds, and 6 of 8 from three. combined last night. I mean, that's just ridiculous for those two guys to be putting up those kind of numbers. And we said if Jaren, Bane, and Brooks were the three guys that need to step up, and they have absolutely done that. They've come up in spades of what they've done since Ja's been out. And I just love the energy and the swagger on this team. And I think it's led by Dylan Brooks. He kind of brings that energy, and they kind of feed off of it. And this team, definitely, I mean, they're not just out there winning games. They want to put the foot on your throat. I mean, that's kind of what they do. I mean, this mentality, I mean, they're not gonna back down on anybody. I mean, you see a lot of young teams come out and get pumped. That's not going to happen with this team. I mean, this team has a lot of swagger, and they play the game with a passion and intensity that I love. I mean, it's so fun to watch when they get going.
Yeah, you know, last night in the post game, Melton was asked about, you know, coming off that bench with Kyle Anderson and what that does. And he said him and Kyle talk about it all the time, you know, that they're able to come off the bench and be so effective. And those guys, Kyle Anderson and De'Anthony Melton, I think that they were really the catalyst last night that started this team, you know, after the Kings came out playing more physical, you know, just like essentially – and that, like, beginning of the game, the Kings looked like they were going to beat the Grizzlies, and both of us were a little bit concerned. We're like, man, come on, you cannot lose to this team down, you know, six guys, including some of their best players. And here we are starting off slow. And then, you know, Anderson and Melton come in. Those guys ended up a combined plus 56 last night. Just incredible energy from the bench. And I want to see De'Anthony Melton keep this same type of energy, same type of role whenever Ja comes back. You generally see Melton kind of fall back, not necessarily offensively, but like his minutes whenever Ja comes back. Yeah, there's not going to be as many necessarily available. But when Ja comes back, I would rather see Melton stay around that 22 to 24 minute range because of the energy and how disruptive he is on the ball, as opposed to Tyus seeing, you know, and Tyus is playing great. And, you know, this is not a bash on Tyus. Tyus was plus 21 last night. But I would like to see Melton continue to get these minutes because of the effect that he's having on the game when he's in there.
Yeah, I 100% agree, because, I mean, we've seen Melton at times. It seems like when anything changes with him, his role changes a little bit, or he's been starting because somebody's hurt, and then he comes off the bench. Anytime his role changes a little bit, he kind of reverts back to the player that struggles a bit. I mean, that's been the thing with him. I mean, there are times where he looks like one of the better two-way players in the league, and then he kind of goes into a shell and can't make shots. And I think he always brings the effort on the defensive end. That's something that he always does. But offensively, there's been some inconsistencies there. But, like, shooting the basketball, he'll be shooting the basketball high 40s at one time, and then he'll go back into the low 30s. I mean, sometimes he just goes back and forth. And I agree, I hope when Ja comes back, and because his minutes are probably going to be cut some, I just think it's just inevitable that he's not going to be playing 20, 25. What did he play last night? 23 minutes. I mean, that might get cut down to 18. I would like to see him keep playing, because I think the impact, like you said, I mean, when him and Kyle came in that game last night, that's what kind of changed the game. I mean, he had to melt and got some deflections. They were able to get out and run, turn defense into offense. And I think that's when this team was at their best. And that's kind of what jump started their run. Everybody else got involved once that happened. I mean, he means a lot to this team, and this team is a lot better when he's playing like that. So, and because he comes off the bench and brings that energy, and I'm hoping all this stuff continues when Ja comes back. Xavier Tillman pretty much even admitted, they kind of asked him about kind of how this team has won when Ja's been out, and he said that he doesn't believe it. They're not a better team when Ja's out, but he says that they felt like they might play harder. And I thought that was kind of telling. I'm like, man, well, why can't you play with the same intensity when Ja's there? I mean, that's what we need to see, because if that happens, I mean, you're putting yourself in a total different bracket. If that happens. But I think that was kind of revealing to kind of some of the questions that we've asked. And I thought that's kind of the reason why I've come up with. I feel like when Ja went out, all these guys felt like individually, well, I got to do more, and we have to do more to collectively to kind of make up that gap. So I thought that was kind of telling that he said that.
Yeah, you know, to a certain extent, you can't, if you play with an insane amount of energy all the time, then whenever the games really matter late in the season and then the playoffs, you wear yourself out, run out of gas by the time you get to the playoffs. But, you know, you would think that they would be able to play at the same level whenever Ja was there. But man, it's just mental. So much of this game is mental. And that's something I was going to ask you about Melton. Do you think that when his minutes get back down around that 17, 18, you know, like just below 20 mark, do you think that does something to him mentally? Do you think he's thinking about that, like maybe pressing a little bit, trying to earn more minutes?
Well, we're quick breaking news, not in Grizz news, but Kevin Durant just went into protocols. That just came across from Woj, Woj bomb. It seems like that's been pretty much, I mean, this is like draft night, except with COVID. Every second, it seems like some another guy's going into protocols. Hopefully, we can avoid that with the Grizzlies. I was going to say the Grizzlies walked out of Golden Corral, one center, whatever they call it now, with a win. I hope that's all they walked out of there with, man. I was not going to get into the COVID thing, but I didn't think they were going to play this game, and I was kind of nervous about it. But hopefully that's not the case, man, because you don't need that to derail in the Grizzlies' run right now. But as far as Melton, I think that could be a little bit of it. I think when his minutes are going down, I think he feels like, okay, well, I have a shorter time to come out here and prove what I can do. And I think that you can press like that. You can take bad shots, force some shots up, feel like you have to do more in a short amount of time. I definitely think that could be a part of it. But again, man, he means so much to this team because of what he does on both ends. I mean, those threes, he hits those threes, they're huge for this team. They seem to always be in huge spots when they really need him. When he knocks down those threes, man, he gets deflections, gets steals. And we talk about Dillon Brooks and the injury that he brings in the team kind of feeds off of that. I think the same thing. I think Melton and Cal have a little bit of that as well. When they get going, I think the team feeds off that as well. So they're going to need that, and hopefully that continues. But I agree. I think that could be a part of it. When his minutes are down, he feels like he has to do more. I think when he's playing 23, 24 minutes, I think he might go out and play a little bit more free than he does when his minutes are down.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll kind of go back to the COVID thing just a little bit here. And again, we're not going to hammer on this, but something that you have to consider, the reason that we're seeing more positives right now, obviously, you know, the new variant of it, that makes a difference. But the number of tests that they were doing has increased. You know, we watched as the deadline kind of got here, and you saw where players that got a certain vaccine – we're going to have to start being tested. So more people are being tested right now. That's why you're seeing these positives. But it's just crazy to me that we're 2 years into this and still fighting the same crap.
Yeah.
I wonder what's going to happen with the protocols. I know, you know, there's been talks about the NBA kind of tightening that up. The owners have, you know, been on record saying that they want to try and avoid any type of shutdown. You know, I don't know that anybody wants to go back to a bubble situation because that had to be tough, you know, being, you know, for the entire time that they were down there, they were isolated from everybody outside of their teammates. But I don't know where that line is, man. That's not for me to decide. I'm glad that's not on me. But, you know, any time that you have more testing, any time that the testing ramps up, you're going to see more positives. I did not expect, however, for it to be like,
yeah, it is wild. You know,
like I thought that we may see more positives kind of here and there, but you know, you had the Bulls got shut down for a couple games. This Kings game very well could have been postponed because of the amount of Kings players that were down. And I don't know what number that makes for the Nets right now, but they've got a few guys in protocols. Miles McBride, a smaller name, for the Knicks that went into protocols. It just keeps, you know, it's stacking up. More and more guys are testing positive. And, you know, it's all speculation. We haven't heard anything in stone yet from the league about what they're going to do. But I saw something the other day where they had considered letting guys that were asymptomatic play anyway.
Yeah.
And man, there's so many risks, man. And that's, I don't know. I'm not going to go down that path. We're not going to go too deep into that conversation, because it's pretty slippery slope there, but just wild stuff. The guys that have to make these decisions, man, they've got to be stressing right now, because they're getting to the point, like you're at the brink of, you know, a big decision is going to have to be made. Cause I don't know how many positive, you know, with Durant going into the protocols, I don't know how many that makes total, but it's been a ton over this last week. And so big decisions are going to happen on that front.
Yeah. I mean, I think they put a percentage out, and I think this is the highest, even from when it first started, this is the worst that it's been in the NBA. And I kind of tweeted out the other day that I felt like they might need to hit the pause button, and I wasn't saying complete shutdown or go back into a bubble or anything. And a lot of people jumped all over me. I mean, some people agree, some people don't. I mean, it's a very polarizing issue. That's why I don't want to go deep down in a rabbit hole on here, but it's a tough situation. And I think right now, I think the NBA is doing everything they can to save those Christmas games, man. They don't want to miss those advertising dollars. So they're kind of trying to let this play out. But I think at some point, man, you have to evaluate, man. So many guys are getting it. And I mean, I know they said athletes don't get sick from it and all that kind of thing. But they have families, they have lives outside of this. They're immunocompromised people out in the world. And I mean, it's just a tough situation. I mean, I don't know what the answer is. I don't know. It's a lot of money that you're dealing with. And it's just a tough situation, man. I wouldn't want to be the person making these decisions, but I think at some point you got to evaluate, man, what are we doing here? Like, can we keep going with this? Because, I mean, it's like spreading like wildfire. I mean, you have the coaches getting it, the staff members. I mean, it's wild, man. And again, man, every 10 to 15 minutes, it seems like Woj and Shams are tweeting out another guy's going in their protocols, and it's craziness right now. So we'll see how it plays out, man. But I think they're going to try to push through to at least Christmas. And after then, I could possibly see something happening. We'll see. Hopefully not, because that's not what any of us want. I mean, I mean, covering a team, being a fan of sports and basketball, I don't think anybody wants to shut down. I think some people are saying, like, some people, like, want to shut down. I don't know why that would be the case. But, again, I mean, every 10 minutes, man, hopefully the Grizzlies can avoid this. But it just seems like every team's probably dealing with a little bit of it right now, man. But hopefully it gets better.
Yeah, with all the positives, it's almost inevitable that the Grizzlies will face some of this at one point or another. Hopefully, with changes that are being made, they can limit that. But we will see how that pans out. We'll roll back into the game here. You were talking about MeToo from the Kings, and him kind of taking the majority of the
shots. Yeah, I didn't get it, man.
That's wild to me. But if you remember, like, when we first really heard about Me Too is when the stuff went down with JV, Kings fans call it a dirty play. And, you know, it's there was a lot. I guess when I first saw it happen, I was like, nah, I wasn't that dirty. And then after I go back and I watch the video now, I'm like, man, it was scary. It was scary to say, Lisa, the power bomb from JV or whatever you want to call it. So glad to see him kind of bouncing back from that. He ended up with a double-double, 18 and 11 last night for the Kings. Who do the Grizzlies, like, we talk about depth, you know, and Me Too is a guy that's a depth player for the Kings. If the Grizzlies get into something like this where, you know, they're missing a number of guys, do you feel like they're going to have somebody? And obviously, you know, with Jai out, everybody's kind of stepping up. But, you know, if you see more of these guys going down, do you feel like there's somebody coming off of the bench right now that has that second gear that we hadn't really seen yet?
That's an interesting question. I mean, I guess guys, I mean, because the thing about it is they're kind of playing all their depth guys right now. I mean, I guess we have guys like Conchar who have definitely stepped up in times. I think Xavier Tillman is a guy that can put up bigger numbers if he's forced into a more prominent role. I mean, even Culver, who was a guy who has struggled a lot, even that Lakers game, you saw him come in, and I think there's a little bit that he can do, man. He can do a lot on the defensive end, and I think that's where his most potential is. But he's even shown some moxie on the offensive end since he's been able to come in and get some minutes. So, I mean, I think there are guys on this team. I honestly think this might be I think this is one. Grizzlies are one of the deepest teams in the league. I think that no question at this point that they're 10-1 and having to play their lower roster guys significant minutes. I think that they've shown that. But I think those are kind of the guys I just named outside of. I mean, if you're not going to bring guys like Kyle and Melton into it, I think those are kind of the three guys that I would look at as guys that could possibly step up and do more. I think X and Conchar especially are guys that could come in and have a big night, could possibly score 18, 20 points if they needed to be. If you're like missing like all your guys, I think those are some guys that could come in and step up and elevate a little bit.
Yeah. I think that Killian Tilly. Tilly,
Yeah, I didn't mention Tilly. I mean, he had 8 points last night.
Yeah. You know, like he was a guy in college that could really fill it up whenever he was healthy. So I think that he's a guy that could do that for him. And he's played well during the stretch. You know, Ja Morant is out, and we focus on that a lot. But, you know, you're also missing Brandon Clark, a guy that's a rotation player. And Kyle Anderson's been in and out of this rotation. He's been in and out of, you know, with injuries. Zaire Williams, another rotation guy that's been down for a little bit. He came back for one game and then rolled his ankle, and he's been kind of shut down since then. But, you know, I think that the Grizzlies definitely do have the depth to kind of overcome something like that. I hope it doesn't come to that, but we'll see how that works out.
I was going to say real quick, one thing that I do kind of hate is that Zaire Williams is not available during this time, because I think this would have been great for him. He probably minutes would have gone up. I think this would have been a tremendous time for him to kind of get in there and get some more playing time. And I kind of hate that he's missing this time, because I mean, I think this would have been great for him. And it seems like, I mean, it's weird, because I think this is probably a week and a half ago, Taylor Jenkins was like, oh, well, he avoided significant injury, that this is not anything of concern at all. He's still out, but we're not going to get back into that. But you know my thoughts on that and the Grizzlies with injuries. But, I mean, I kind of hate that he's not been able to play during this time.
Yeah, I agree. This would have been great developmental minutes for him. Man, not much else on this game for me tonight. You know, like I said, Grizzlies take care of business. You know, we hadn't ran through the team stats from this game. You got those pulled up, or you need me to get them?
Yeah, I got them. I mean, it was something I was about to mention, and I forgot it. On the tip of my tongue, I can't remember what I was about to say. I had a point about something about last night, but look at the team stats. Grizzlies 45 of 97 for 46.4%. Sacramento 36 of 88 for 40.9%. And I've talked about that throughout the season. The Grizzlies, and this always seems to be, if you go back and look at the box scores, you'll see this a lot. Teams don't get a lot of shots off against the Grizzlies. I mean, it's a theme. It's become a point to where this is a thing. It's not like you see it some games, it's almost exclusively. Like, if you look at the number of shots the Grizzlies get up and the number of shots that the other team gets up, Grizzlies are always having a significant amount of more attempts than their opponents. So that's something that I've noticed throughout the year. Same thing last night, Grizzlies with 9 more shots on goal than Sacramento last night. You look at the three-point numbers, Grizzlies really good last night, really super efficient, 13 of 24 for 54.2%. Sacramento with the same amount of makes at 13, but 11 more attempts at 35 for 37.1%. Free throw line, 21 of 27 for the Grizzlies, 77.8%. Sacramento, 20 of 26 for 76.9%. Grizzlies, man, win the rebounding battle as they do on seemingly a nightly basis, 50 to 45. Win the offensive rebounds, 12 to 10. Grizzlies, 25 assists. Sacramento, 21. Steals, Grizzlies, 11 to 5. Blocks, Sacramento, 6 to 3. Turnovers are 13, only 13 for the Grizzlies, 18 for Sacramento. Grizzlies 31 points off Sacramento's 18 turnovers. It was a big in that game. One of the big reasons they were able to get back in that game in that second quarter. Fast break points, 20 to 18 Grizz, and big work in the paint for the Grizzlies last night. 60 points in the paint to 36 for Sacramento.
Yep, just a good team win from the Grizzlies. And this is a game that they should have won. Even if the Kings are healthy, the Grizzlies are a better team. You know, they took care of business. Glad to see that. So next game, Sunday at home, back at the Forum against the Trailblazers. Be watching for updates on the Grizzlies to see if after, you know, the outbreak of COVID in Sacramento, if we see any effects of that on the Grizzlies squad.
Nervous, man.
Yeah, I am worried about it as well. We appreciate you guys tuning in. Isaac, you got anything else before we get out of here, man?
I was going to say, man, those Sunday afternoon games scared me. But historically, if you kind of look back, the Grizzlies have not played well in those 5 o'clock Sunday games. Hopefully that changes tomorrow, because I think it's a big opportunity for them to get a second win. I mean, the season series with Portland's tied. They got the win out in Portland earlier this week. Portland finally got out tonight and got a win last night. So I'm kind of glad that they're not still on their losing streak. I mean, they got a win, so maybe they're not really coming in with backs against the wall, even though they need all the wins they can get. I kind of like the fact that they won last night. But hopefully the Grizzlies have an opportunity to go 2-1 in this series. I don't necessarily think Portland's going to be up in that spot where the Grizzlies are competing with them for the season, but you never know. But I just think that Portland team's on the brink, man. I think some decisions are going to be made there. But, again, people kind of talk about maybe the Grizzlies are the team that kind of forces that change. But we'll see what happens. But I'm excited about that game on Friday night. On Sunday, tomorrow night, I always love when the Grizzlies and Blazers get together, because these teams don't like each other. So that should be a fun matchup.
Well, I think that this is a prime example of, you know, things get crazy and people are calling for the coach's head. And you look at, you know, where this Blazers team had been with Stotts at the helm, they make a coaching change. And now the struggle is more so this year. They've had some, you know, some issues that are outside of their control, but it's just, you know, it's not been a great year for Portland, and Dame has missed some time. CJ McCollum is out right now with a collapsed lung. I don't know how close he is to coming back. But it's sometimes a coaching change is not the answer. And I don't know if that was going to be the answer for the Trailblazers. They didn't really make many changes roster wise whenever it comes down to it. So we'll get to see over the course of time whether this head coaching change was a positive or not. And, you know, if they blow it up, you obviously can't tell if that was the right decision, but it's just, I get basically, I'm just saying the grass is not always greener on the other side, you know?
Like, yeah. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
Talking with my guy, Mike Beisenberg, a good friend on the program. You can find him on Twitter at NBA Draft Mikey V. Mate. Definitely knows his stuff. He's an Oregon alum and a Trailblazers fan. He was at the game the other night, and I was kind of talking to him back and forth, and he kind of agrees with me, man. He said it's time to blow this up. I mean, Dame kind of doubled down on his loyalty to Portland, man. He wants to be there. I mean, I kind of think that for him and for the Blazers, it's time to move on. But I mean, he seems to, against all odds, want to stay there. And they've tried. I mean, they spent money. They went out and brought in Norman Powell, which I was kind of surprised that they took on that contract. They've done what they could. But, I mean, they just have a lot of issues. The front office, I mean, front office change, that's in flux right now. And Mike said that people up there aren't happy with Chauncey Billups. I mean, that whole thing started off rocky with the sexual assault allegations, all that stuff, and having a fan base didn't want us. I mean, they got a lot of stuff going on with that team. But we'll see how it plays out. But again, man, I think the best route for them now is to break it up. I just don't think that they're going to be able to have success with the group that they have now, because, I mean, they don't have a lot of assets now to kind of go out and add anything else more to it. I mean, I know they've had a lot of injuries, and that plays a part in it, but I just don't think that team is good enough to get over the hump. I think they've kind of maxed out. I mean, they had the year where they went to the Western Conference Finals, and I think that's probably going to be the apex of what this group does. I think CJ McCollum, and we've talked about this the other day, they have a lot of guys that kind of do the same thing, and I think that roster construction isn't great. But again, man, we'll see what happens. They have a lot of injuries. We'll see when guys get back, but I just don't think that particular roster is going to be able to get it done.
Yeah. Yep. I agree with you. So we'll go ahead and wrap it up. Get out of here. Appreciate you guys tuning in. You can get me on Twitter at DWill2111. The show is at Ethos Grizzlies, ETHOS, Ethos Grizzlies. Isaac, let them know where they can find you and get us out of here, man.
Yeah, man. You can find me on Twitter at Isaac_Rivals. It's ISAAC_Rivals. Again, the Grizzlies take on the Portland Trailblazers tomorrow night. And what's their next day? They play them back-to-back on Monday, right? Yeah, they got the Oklahoma City Thunder, a team who they beat by 73 points coming in here on Monday night. So that's going to be interesting to see if the Thunder are going to be out for revenge or what they can do in that one. So that should be fun. So we should be back sometime early next week to kind of review both of those games. And again, man, we thank everybody for tuning in. Again, go over to Anthony Grizzlies, give us a follow. We appreciate that. And until next time, be gone.